together again just for fighting, Bob. Thank you, Kissers, for kicking off what is going to be a fantastic afternoon. Right now, I want to introduce somebody who all of you are familiar with. You've heard him on the Stephanie Miller Show. You've seen him on Ed Schultz. You've seen him on Chris Hayes. You've heard him on Sirius XM. You saw him if you were at the Barry Meyer last night. Rock the house. Please welcome the hilarious, the witty, the awesome John Fugelsang.
Well, hello. Can we give it up for Ruth and the band, please? And for everybody here at Making Fighting Bob Fest 2015 happen, all the booths, all the organizers, and I gotta say, it's a pleasure to come from New York and be around so many people doing the Lord's work. Thank you for having me. So my set this afternoon is dedicated to all the private citizens who are dedicated to making Scott Walker a private citizen. Scott Walker can't recall caring about the working people of Wisconsin, but the working people of Wisconsin care about recalling Scott Walker, let me tell you. Did you guys actually see him tweet out Happy Labor Day earlier this month? Happy Labor Day from Scott Walker. Isn't that kind of like getting Happy Lincoln's birthday greetings from John Wilkes Booth? My friends, I don't have to tell you, Scott Walker is so evil, the dark side turns to him. And in a way, that's really what makes me proud to be an American, because when I saw the folks camping out, when I saw the folks camping out in the Capitol building, singing folk songs, terrifying the establishment through peace, and through love, that's what scares them. Our struggle has never been conservative versus liberal in this country. It has always, from the beginning, been aristocracy versus democracy. And calling Scott Walker a tool is an insult to backhoes. I have to say, I was really looking forward to Scott Walker's presidential campaign. I was looking forward to months and months going by and his oozing, overwhelming charisma eventually convincing the rest of America what all y'all already know. However, as you saw from the debate the other night, I don't know if you know this, but Donald Trump did the most talking. Scott Walker did the least talking of any candidate in that entire debate. And it looks like he's not going to get a chance to redistribute the Koch brothers' wealth. And it just makes me sad, because it's always kind of pathetic when a teabagger chokes. So it's a real honor to be here, and I don't know if you guys saw the debate the other night, the CNN three-hour extravaganza. First off, how about that set at the Reagan Library, huh? CNN finally found a plane. Now, give me a minute to thank Donald Trump for knocking Scott Walker out, because I never expected Donald Trump to actually run, but I love watching him. I really, really do. It's sort of like if Mr. Burns from The Simpsons and a pro wrestler had sex, Donald Trump and his big orange head and anus-looking lips would be the unholy spawn of their demon union. The whole thing was great. I love all the GOP candidates this year. I call them King Trump and the Knights of the Trickle-Down Table. Ted Cruz, what a gift to comedy Ted Cruz has been for all of us, huh? The Abraham Lincoln of Sarah Palin's. Then we got Carly Fiorina. And if she can outsource 32,000 jobs and still make HP's stock plummet, imagine what she can do for you. Carly Fiorina is kind of angry, as you can tell. She's still upset she never managed to catch those Dalmatians. Then we got Jeb Bush, who came out and said a line the other night. He said in the 2012 convention, "My brother kept us safe." And I thought, my God, Jeb Bush still doesn't know about anthrax or 9/11. And of course, Dr. Ben Carson, who I love very much. Dr. Ben Carson, along with Mike Huckabee, both think that gay marriage will lead to bestiality. They've both said it, that allowing adults, consenting adults, to marry who they love in a free society based on liberty will lead to adults having sex with animals. These are the front runners of the GOP field, my friends. Let me tell you something. I know a little bit about the Bible. If you think that letting gay people marry who they love will lead to bestiality, you are not a Christian champion of family values. You're a creepy dude who thinks way too much about bestiality. As for Donald Trump, he makes me ashamed to be a racist billionaire. Donald Trump is so racist his crosses burn themselves. Watching him smear John McCain's military service for being a POW, putting him down for that, do you know how much I hate defending John McCain? And then he gave out Lindsey Graham's home phone number. Do you know how much I hate defending Lindsey Graham? Both John McCain and Lindsey Graham, they're like my least favorite same-sex couple. Two men opposed to gay marriage who always look like they're about to announce one. Do we still like Barack Obama, Wisconsin? I'll tell you, for a Muslim, he's done pretty well. I mean, so let me get this straight. He's a Muslim who went to a bad Christian church. He's a socialist, he's a Nazi and a communist, and he's a tyrant and a weak and ineffectual leader. Don't you love it when homophobes want to have everything both ways? I'll tell you something. When Barack Obama first announced his candidacy, all the progressives said the same thing. Oh my God, the first African-American nominee for president. Someone's going to take a shot at him. What was Barack Obama worried, friends? He was not, because he had in mind a vice presidential nominee that would guarantee zero assassination attempts. He walked out there with Biden and said, "You want to kill me? Fine, here's what you get when I'm gone." The crazy middle-aged liberal who's a white, a real liberal with plugs. Go ahead, take your best shot. Do we like Hillary Clinton? Okay. Tepid is the new black. You don't have to like Hillary Clinton to agree that by far she's the best Republican in the race. And I'll tell you something else. Americans are ready for a woman president. Elizabeth Warren. She is a MILF, a mom I'd like to vote for. If I had to pick anyone I was rooting for, I'd have to say it's Bernie Sanders. If they do nominate Bernie Sanders, I kind of hope the GOP nominates Jackie Mason to run against him. Just for the debates, because Bernie would come out and say, "For too long, the middle class has been struggling under the yoke of corporate oppression. This one with the corporate and the oppression, you Nazi bastard. Don't call me a Nazi bastard, you Nazi bastard. I will call you a Nazi bastard, you Nazi bastard." Now, they tell me Bernie Sanders can't ever win because Americans will not vote for a Jewish socialist. I tell them America celebrates the birthday of a Jewish socialist every December 25th. And that's no smear on Mrs. Clinton, all right? The fact of the matter, the fact of the matter is there's a magic number in this campaign, and it's 211. That is Ruth Bader Ginsburg's age. You don't have to be in love with Hillary Clinton to be in love with the idea of Donald Trump or Scott Walker or Jeb Bush not picking the next 3 to 4 Supreme Court judges. It's really simple math. Do you want to vote for someone you agree with on 60% of the issues or Donald Trump? It's not all that complex. And Hillary Clinton, my friends, could be the one hope for world peace. She could be the one person to bring all of our troops home, because trust me, the generals would listen if Hillary got on the phone and said, "Pull out now." I guarantee it. Oh, really? Really? I haven't even started on teabagging jokes yet. looking at this GOP field, and if you were a foreign observer watching America's political process right now, you might think we're dumb. And to a large extent, we are. We are dumb. We're a nation founded on turducken and Kardashian. We're a nation that should, instead of having the bald eagle for our logo, be a guy drooling on the clicker. We are a nation where people think Rwanda was JJ's sister on Good Times. Yes, we are kind of dumb. We think Arab Spring was a Saudi deodorant. Yes, to some extent, we are Michelle Bachmann on Whippets. I agree. But the fact of the matter is that America really is like a set of conjoined twins, two conjoined twins, only one of them has a brain. And the one without a brain won't stop punching the one with a brain. And that's the struggle we face, because there is a lot of dumb here, but maybe it's not dumb, maybe people have just been asleep. And that's why what has happened in Wisconsin is one of the two or three most inspiring movements I've seen in America in my lifetime. Because what's happened here in this beating heart in the center of America has been spreading out. This is completely related to the struggle for marriage equality, completely related to Occupy, completely related for the struggle for human decency all around our country. When I was a teenager, I moved to New York at the height of AIDS activism. In a time when young people might not know, you could still easily be fired from your job for being gay. People thought you could catch AIDS from a toilet seat. And you know what the LGBT people in New York and the rest of the country did? They didn't wait for the leaders to come to their aid. They led and the leaders followed. This is what I witnessed as a young kid in New York City. People began coming out of the closet, and gay people and their straight allies came together and they demanded their rights. And what happened? The swiftest advancement for civil rights in the history of the human species. I'm sorry if you don't like gay people, lady, but it's going to go on for another minute longer. The swiftest advancement for civil rights in the history of our species. Within 30 years, we went from being able to be fired for being gay to having a president in the middle of a re-election battle endorse marriage equality. It happened here, it happened because of a plague, and it proved that beautiful progress can come from horrible things. So don't tell me anything is impossible in America, because what I've seen here has inspired me every bit as much as Occupy or the right for LGBT freedoms. And it's because progressives are, and always have been, the leaders in this society and in every society. Nobody ever sets out to be a progressive. Nobody ever wakes up in the morning and says, hey, you know what I think I'll do? I'll adopt a set of morally and intellectually advanced perspectives that'll alienate my neighbor with the bald eagle wallpaper. Nobody wants to be called an America-hating commie leftist. No one wants it. But every now and then, an individual who thinks critically wakes up in the morning and says, hey, I'm smart, I'm moral, I'd rather my tax dollars help people here than blow them up over there. And my taste in music doesn't totally suck. Crap, I'm a liberal. And American progressives are a lot like the X-Men. We're not freaks, we're just more evolved. And we're fighting for those who fear us. And that's why I love the progressive community in Madison and all throughout Wisconsin, because you're not just fighting for yourself. You're fighting for the conservatives who fear you and don't get you as well. And that's what Christianity and patriotism were supposed to be about. Now, 10 years ago, I got called a liberal because I thought I was against the Iraq War. I thought Bush's tax plans were a bad idea. I supported medical cannabis and gay marriage. 10 years later, it turns out I was never a liberal. I was prematurely mainstream. And that's why we've seen in 10 years the country has moved towards a more greater place of decency and acceptance and intelligence. The majority of Americans support raising the minimum wage. The majority of Americans support abortion rights in all or some cases. The majority of Americans support marriage equality, decriminalizing marijuana, not letting polluters clean up after themselves. And that's all happened because of the activism of folks like all y'all. And I support raising the minimum wage, but I do support keeping it at $7.25 for Congress because those guys already live off the tips. And again, it's easy to think we're dumb. I was in L.A. trying to do political comedy, and I was like, aren't you guys upset about the economy? Aren't you upset about the Wall Street crooks? Aren't you mad about AIG? Bro, I don't listen to hip-hop. No! It can seem that way, and it can seem like we're getting dumber all the time. And I'm the same way. I actually for 10 years thought G-Spot was a rapper. But I went on iTunes and couldn't find him. A lot of husbands didn't get the joke. It's all right. And the Tea Party hasn't been a big help in this. And you should know that Tea Party is actually an acronym for Total Economic Amnesia Permits Additional Republican Trickle Down, y'all. And they've been duped. They've been hoodwinked. Our conservative brothers and sisters have been bamboozled by a system that dangles, we don't like the gays, we don't like the abortion, we don't like the Muslims, and they vote against their own self-interest. It's always worked. That's the side with all the money. Rich people pay Fox people to make middle-class people blame poor people. If any of your conservative brothers and sisters still think Reaganomics worked, I suggest you tell them, look around. And again, it's why you guys are the heroes. Look, the original Boston Tea Party was American colonists protesting the British government and a corporation dressed as Indians. The modern Tea Party is American citizens protesting their own government for a corporation dressed as imbeciles. So when I get down, when I get depressed, when I think things are really hopeless and can't turn around, I look around the world and see what progressives who've stood against the tide and fought for decency have done. And you'll notice, those are always the people who have it tough. They're the ones who are scorned. They're the ones who get knocked off. You don't see a lot of conservatives getting knocked off, but who are the ones who do? The ones who try to change things. Those are the heroes, whether it's Malcolm X, Dr. Martin Luther King, John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, whether it's Anwar Sadat, Yitzhak Rabin, John Lennon, Jesus Christ, Medgar Evers. Those are the heroes, and it's scary, and people will hate you for doing the Lord's work, but you know what? That's the price of admission for being a human being, and that's why I'm so proud that you guys would slum it offering a clown like me to come here amongst all you. It's kind of funny. Earlier today I was saying, hey, are there any good sights I can go see? I'd like to see some good sights and I can drive around and see the city. And my friend said to me, yeah, have you gone down on John Nolan? And I said, I only want to see things, I said. I'm here because of who my parents were. I have a quintessentially American story. I'm half Southern, half Brooklyn, which means my girlfriend has big hair and is my niece. Half Southern, half Brooklyn makes me legally bilingual. My mom called us y'all. My dad called us rat bastards. But my family was made up of African Americans, of Native Americans, of undocumented immigrants. My family was made up of Christians, of Jews, of Muslims, of atheists. I have a Muslim cousin, a Jewish sister-in-law, an atheist brother, and an ex-nun mother. I don't get to hate anybody. My father was a Franciscan brother. Who met a nun one day in Brooklyn and fell madly in love. He couldn't tell her, and when the convent sent her off to be a nurse in Africa, he wrote letters all day to let this nun friend of his know what was going on back in America in the 60s, with Vietnam, with LBJ, with Dr. King and civil rights. After 10 years, he finally convinced her to marry him. She left the convent. They tried to raise us to be progressive, free-thinking Catholics, and that's why I do stand-up comedy, because I can never afford the therapy I actually need. But having been a Franciscan, and I'm very proud our current Pope chose that name, my dad wasn't exactly the kill the gays kind of guy. He was a social justice Catholic. And that's why I'm proud to be here, because I don't exactly kiss the ring anymore, but I have actually read the Bible and I know what Jesus stood for. And that's why every 4 years I vote for Jesus. And I'd like to see the Republicans vote for the real Jesus as well, not Tea Party Jesus. Because I vote for the Jesus who was a peaceful, radical, nonviolent revolutionary, hung around with lepers, hookers, and criminals, never spoke English, was not an American citizen, was anti-wealth, anti-public prayer, Matthew 6:5, completely anti-death penalty, never anti-gay, never mentioned abortion, never condemned premarital sex, never called the poor lazy, never asked a leper for a copay, never fought for tax cuts for the wealthiest Nazarenes, and was a long-haired, brown-skinned, homeless, unarmed, community organizing, anti-slut-shaming, Palestinian liberal Jew. But that's only if you believe what's actually in the Bible. Thank you for having me at Fighting Bob Fest. God bless all of you. God bless Wisconsin. Peace.